Welcome to the Destiny Podcast.
We're gonna teach something today that's very practical for you. A lot of times when I go to Bible colleges or in my own Bible college and I'm around young people, people ask me all the time about, you know, how do you pray? What's your prayer life like? How do you have a prayer life? And I know one of the most difficult things for young people is to maintain a consistent prayer life. And how do you do that? And people say that, they're like, oh, prayer is like really hard, it's really boring, and you know, sometimes, and it's because, I don't know about you, but my prayer life's not boring, my prayer life is super exciting, amen? And here is the principle, anything that is hard or negative for you, you will instinctively move away from. Come on, amen? And this is what happens in prayer. We have made it very difficult to pray. And this is why we've taken all the fun out of life, all the adventure out of it. And people ask me all the time, like, where do you do your devotion? How do you do your prayer life? And where do you go to do these things? And I have come up with a 12-step prayer life that I follow these 12 steps whenever I pray. And it has worked for me tremendously in my life. And if you have a pen or a piece of paper or you're writing something down, I want to share this with you today. This is my super secret prayer life journal. Amen? And you won't find this anywhere. I've never recorded this. I've never shared this really publicly, only once or twice before. But people ask me all the time, Pastor Troy, how do you pray? How do you have a prayer life? What's your prayer life like? How do you get into the Spirit and be able to move in the Spirit like you saw last night? That didn't just happen. That is the fruit of me learning how to pray and being acquainted with the Holy Spirit, that I can hear things. And many of you last night, when I was in this altar, God would speak things to me because I could hear his voice. And when I walk up to you, my spirit was sensitive enough to certain things that were going on in your life that God knows about. I didn't know about it. God knew about it. Amen? So I have nothing. I'm not a guy that has some kind of, I'm not a psychic. Come on, amen? I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's going on in your life. But God sees everything, and God loves you enough that he wants someone else to know and wants you to know that he knows what you're going through. So this is when you have a word of knowledge. When I'm in an altar like this, I'm hearing God tell me something about you to let you know. But how do I get to that point where I'm hearing the voice of God enough that I can hear him not just for you, but also for myself, but I'm hearing his voice clear enough that I can walk up to you and I can say some of the things that I said to some of you last night that you know in your heart that's exactly what you're going through, that's exactly what's happening in your life. Come on, amen? And it all begins with having and building a relationship with God through prayer. Many people come to me like, ask, like, how do you do this? Can you teach me how to do this? Like, there's some sort of magic to this. Like, just wave your hand over people and they'll fall down. Just do this and they'll do that. No, it comes out of an intimate relationship with God and with the Holy Spirit. When you go into prayer, you have to understand this number one thing, that prayer is not a monologue. A monologue is something that you see when you watch Conan O'Brien, or he gets up at the beginning of his show, and that's the monologue. He's talking to the audience, but they're not talking back. Amen? And many times this is what prayer comes out to be. It's us talking to God, telling him all these things, but we never stop to listen to what he says back to us. So it's like, God, if you had a relationship with someone or you had a girlfriend or a boyfriend, how many people know this would not be a healthy relationship? Is every time you call them and they answer the phone, you said, hello, and they go, how are you? Fine, great. Well, here's what's going on. I did this today. I went here. I went that. I went here. And this is what I was thinking. And here's what I want. Here's what I need you to do. Here's what I want you to do. And okay, thank you. Bye. And hang up the phone. How many people know if that was your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you wouldn't be boyfriend and girlfriend for very long, right? Because it's always a one-way street. And this is what happens a lot of times in our prayer life. It's always one way. You're always asking. You're always saying. You're always doing, saying things to God, asking God for things. But you never stop to hear what he has to say to you. So step number one. We always enter in with worship. Psalms 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. So we always enter into our prayer life with worship. We say not, now here, let me teach you something really quickly about praise and worship. When you see the people here singing and worshiping God, if you pay attention, there's two types of praise and worship. Two types of songs that all praise and worship teams sing. And one type of song is always going to bring the presence of God quicker than other type of song. All right? Now, when I'm a pastor, when I have a meeting or when I hold a conference, I tell my worship team I want to sing certain types of worship songs. I don't let them sing whatever they want to sing because I want the presence of God, because people are coming because they're hungry for the presence of God. So I tell them, I don't want songs that sing about God. Come on, amen? I want songs that you sing to God. There's the difference. If you talk about God, it's different than talking to God. So we don't say, oh Lord, you can do this, you can do that. You can move mountains. You can do these things. That's about him. But we sing songs to God. God, I love you. I believe that you are the living God. Not you are wonderful. I believe you are wonderful. You are my God. You are the holy God. You, and I'm speaking this directly to him. Those are the type of songs, or that's the type of worship that brings the presence much quicker than when you sing just about God. In your worship, don't talk about him. He knows who he is. Amen? He knows he's awesome. Come on, amen? He knows he can move mountains. Okay, you don't need to tell him that. What he wants to hear is who he is to you. Who is God to you? You are my God. You are my Lord. You are the one that saved me. You are the one that healed me. You are the one that is looking out for me. I love you because you have been awesome to me. These are the things that God is looking for. What is he to you? This is the type of worship you enter into that opens up the spiritual realm to you, and God begins to come down into your bedroom, into the back of your taxi cab. Come on, amen? Into your school, wherever you're at, and he begins to make a place with you. And this is the beginning of how your prayer life, you don't want to pray without God being there. So we worship. We don't bring needs. We don't bring concerns. We just worship, and we worship in our own way. Now, many of you don't speak King James Bible, right? Come on, amen? So don't speak King James Bible to God. He doesn't need you to talk like you're some theologian to him. Oh, thou art good, and we extol to you thy goodness, and you have made my feet like hinds' feet, and I can run through a troop and jump over a wall, because thou, O Lord, art good to me, and thou hast caused the dew to shine upon me like the morning in the day of the breaking of the new dawn. Come on, how many of you have heard people pray like that? And you think, okay, well, that's great, but that's not how you talk. That's not how you talk. And here's the thing. God wants to hear from you, and it has to be in your own words. I knew a friend of mine, I used to crack up when I heard him pray, but it was so powerful. Because he would call God dude. He's like, dude, you're so awesome, dude. Dude, you have helped me. And I was like, I'd be laughing, but the presence of God would come because it was so pure. And other people say, that's disrespectful. But that's the way the guy talked. Dude, you're doing it right now. Dude, you're just coming down in your presence right now. Dude, I love you. And I was like, oh my God, this guy. And I'd laugh, but every time he prayed, the presence would come because God honored that, because it was coming from a very pure, sincere part of his heart. And this is what God is looking for. Don't be religious. Don't feel like you have to conform to someone's idea. of what your prayer life or what you're supposed to sound like. You can be real with God. This is the only person sometimes you can be completely real with. So if this is what you, how you talk, then talk like the way you talk. It will free you up, and you don't have to search for all the words, because he wants you to look at him as a friend. And you can talk for hours. You ever wonder why you can talk to your friends on the phone and on Facebook or on chat with them for hours back and forth, but you can't say two words to God because you're not looking at God as a friend? It's that simple. And Jesus said, I don't just call you brothers anymore, I call you friends. And I want to be a friend to God, and God wants to be your friend. And sometimes we approach him because people have put religious bondages on us that he's so fearful of saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing, it keeps you from entering into a close relationship with your friend, Jesus. Come on, are you here? In worship, this is what's going to happen. You're going to begin to see distractions. It seems like every time I go into prayer, I start being reminded of everything I need to do. Things that I forgot. So I'm in prayer, Lord, I love you. And like, oh my God, I forgot to. I need to call that person. Yeah, okay. Lord, I worship you. I give you all the glory. Father, you're my God, and I worship you for who you are and what you've done for me. And I give you the praise. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot to turn off that light over there. I need to get that key made. I need to make a key for that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot I gotta pay my cell phone bill. Oh, yeah. And you kind of focus, and this is what happens. These things come up, and this is what I've learned to do. I've learned that when I come into the presence of God, things begin to get clearer. That's why this begins to happen. But it can become a distraction for you. So I just keep a little notepad next to me, and I write down all those things that I've forgotten. And I use the enemy's tactic against him. Amen? Because he's trying to use it for distraction, but I'm going to use it for efficiency. Come on, amen? Let's keep a little notepad like you should, and I just write those things down until there's no more of them, and then I just keep going forward. Amen? Deal with distractions. Number two, listen to this. This is very powerful. Number two is I get liberated. After our worship, I get liberated. You can't go forward in your prayer life unless you get liberated. You have to liberate yourself so you can have quick access. And sin is a weight upon us. Now, this is what keeps people from going deeper into their prayer life. Because when you worship God correctly in a pure place, out of your own words, God descends upon you. He comes. And immediately when the Holy God enters your life, you are reminded of your sinfulness. You are reminded of everything you did wrong in the presence of God. Come on, amen? And this is normal, okay? But this is where people stop. They're like, God, I feel all these things that are wrong. I feel like, you know, and here's what people don't do. They don't get rid of that and get liberated. They just, it's so simple. The Bible says to lay aside every snare, every way, every sin that besets us. And it's so simple. If you've said things or done things wrong, or you have a wrong attitude or a wrong thing in your heart, you deal with it right there after the worship, because the presence of God comes not to condemn us. Listen, God in his judgment, when God judges us, God does not judge us the way the world and where other people judge us. When God judges us, it's not for destruction, it's for purification. Amen. He's not trying to condemn you. He's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to purify you. Come on, are you here? And you feel that way because the presence of God is in your life, maybe for the first time. That's why I remind myself, oh, it's working. Hallelujah. I feel this way not because I'm this evil person, but because God wants me to go deeper with him. And the little attitudes, the little things that I said, stuff that I've done, little bad habits or things that are going on in my life that I need to get rid of, in that presence, I just ask God for forgiveness right there. I'm reminded not of that I'm a bad person, but I'm reminded that I'm with a holy God right now. Amen. So most people, that's exactly where they stop right there. Because they feel it. They're like, oh, I can't go any further. I'm such a terrible person. And this is why they stay out of prayer. This is why they never go any deeper than that. The presence of God comes and they're reminded. They start to feel awkward in the presence. And you should never feel awkward in the presence of God. You should feel completely comfortable in the presence of God. See, I watch you guys doing praise and worship up here. And I can see that when the presence comes in, certain people react differently to the presence of God. Certain people, they hit that presence, the presence hits them, they take a step back. Just physically, some of you took a step back when the presence of God came. It's a unconscious reaction to what's happening in the realm of the spirit. Now, when I pray for people in a prayer line, I learned how to look at people and how they react. Because you will always react in the natural to what's going on in the realm of the spirit. Your physical reaction in the natural is evidence to what's going on in your spiritual life. So as I pray for people, I watch sometimes how people fall and what they do. And when I see people cover their face, that's always shame. They cover their face. I see people roll up in a ball in like a fetal position. That's rejection. I see people's hands contort and they scream, ah! That's witchcraft. Not brain surgery, right? And you think I'm all deep, but I'm just looking at that. Okay, that's what that is. That's what that is. It doesn't take a lot of discernment because I know that this is the reaction to what's happening in the spirit, what God is trying to deal with, what is coming up and needs to be pulled out by delivered, people need to be delivered from by how they react in the natural. And you can see that even in your posture when you go into prayer. When you go into prayer and you begin to pray, the presence of God comes, how do you react? Do you sit down? Do you take a step back? Do your shoulders shrink down? These are all things that tell you, instead of pressing in, getting your hands up, pushing forward. And sometimes you have to control your physical reaction to the presence of God. Like you want to step down, you want to sit back, but you're like, no, I'm going to stay in this. Amen. I'm not going to let this sin or this weight and being reminded, I'm going to get liberated right now. I'm not going to bow. Yeah. Yes, there's things. I agree. I need to deal with this. Lord, forgive me. Because the Bible says that you are faithful and just to forgive those that confess your sin. I confess I got a bad attitude. I had these kind of thoughts. I had these kind of things that went on. I need to deal with my attitude. Lord, forgive me of all these things. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses me and gives me access into the presence of God. I am cleansed whiter than snow right now. I remind myself of what the Bible says, and I just keep going forward. Amen. Got to get liberated. Be real. This is the promise that God gives us. Access with confidence into his presence. That means I have confidence that when I walk in, that I'm not going to be rejected by God. I have access with confidence. Some people have access, but they don't have confidence. You know what the difference of that is? You've ever wanted something from your mom and dad, but you weren't really sure if they're going to give it to you. So you come in and you're like, Mom, Dad, can I talk to you for a second? And you put on your best puppy dog face. I need $200 for a new cell phone. They're like, what? $200? We just got you one month ago. But, oh, it's the latest one, and you have your whole thing, but you don't have confidence that you're going to get it. Right? It's the exact opposite when I come into the presence of God. I have access with confidence. Amen. Come on, amen? Because I'm liberated. I get liberated, so I know when I come in, I'm going to get whatever I ask for. I'm coming into the presence of God to ask him for things, and he's not going to tell me no. Come on, amen? And when you have access with confidence, you come boldly, the Bible says, under the throne of grace. You walk in boldly because you're liberated. You have asked for forgiveness of sins. Now listen, Pastor Troy, every time you come into the presence of God, you repent exactly every single time. Every single time I come into the presence of God, a normal part of my prayer life is I don't come to the altar once a year and repent or go up one time at a conference and nail my sins to a cross one time. Come on. I mean, people have done that. I'm thinking, I go in the churches and they have those crosses up and everyone would. I'm like, repentance is not an event. It is a lifestyle.
Amen.
Come on, amen? Because ain't none of y'all perfect. Come on. And I don't care how you look, like Little Mary and Jesus Jr. Come on. You are not perfect. Don't play games in the presence of God. Every one of you in this room has things that you are dealing with and you need God's help. You need to be forgiven of things you did. So make that a normal part of your prayer life. Don't make it a bad thing. Make it a good thing. Because if you walk in every time you get into the presence and you feel condemned and you don't remind yourself that the reason why you feel that way is because you just had an encounter with a holy God. It's not negative. It's positive. Get liberated quickly, and get access into the next level. Don't let it stop you right there. And many of you, that's exactly where you stop because you feel it. You feel condemned. Don't be condemned. God is not coming to judge you. He's coming to purify you so that you can go deeper into the next level with him. Don't stop there. And that's where people give up. When his head goes down, presence lifts, and like, I don't feel anything anymore. And you got to press fast. In the praise and worship, it happens the same way. You feel it, you encounter the presence of Holy God, you're reminded of all the things, you feel awkward, and you have to go, God, thank you for liberating me, thank you for forgiving me of my sin. I confess this to you right now, not loud enough for anyone around me to hear, come on. You don't want to be yelling out your sins in the altar, Lord, I had lustful thoughts the other night. Everyone's going to be, what happened, what? No, but just right where you're at. You get liberated. You can't go deeper in prayer until you get liberated. Get rid of that stuff. Repent of it right there. Every time you go into prayer, there's a normal part of your prayer life is repentance. Come on, amen. Repent and know you're forgiven and then move forward. Here's a powerful thing here. Number three. God is a God of atmospheres. You have to maintain an atmosphere. I don't know if you've ever seen, many of you probably have watched this on TV. You've seen Pastor Benny Hinn. Now, what I want to teach you about something really quick is, most people, when they see Pastor Benny Hinn on TV, they think that he is a healing guy, that he lays hands on people and heals people. But if you notice, Pastor Benny never lays hands on people. Only after they've been healed, then he does that thing and waves his hand, people fall down, right? But normally, you never see him lay hands on the sick. You never see him go down from the stage and go and do a prayer line. He always stands there and they sing hallelujah 10 million times, hallelujah. And there's a lady on the organ, and it's like, man, you know, can we get some contemporary music in this thing? And he sings hallelujah and all these songs and these hymns. And it's like, oh, my God, where are we going to stop singing this? And then all of a sudden, like popcorn all over the room, people start getting healed, popping, poop, 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 poop. And I asked him one time because I had lunch with him. It was a privilege to meet him. And I said, explain to me how this whole thing works. I'm a student of the anointing and of the power of God. How does this work? And he says, most people think I don't have a gift of healing. People think I don't lay hands on people. He says, what I'm good at and what God has given me a gift for is to orchestrate an atmosphere by which people can get their healing. He says, I know how to arrange things for the Holy Spirit so that he can come in the room and begin to heal people. He says, we sing those songs. He goes, I'm just building an atmosphere. Now, every one of us in this room are individuals. You have a spirit that's different than my spirit. That's what makes us unique. You will maybe receive an impartation from your leaders, from pastors. You may pray a little bit like Pastor Kwok. You may sound like him when you preach, but you're a unique individual, and as such, you are moved by unique things. Every one of you is moved differently, and God knows that. That's why some of you love certain worship songs, and some of you don't like that song. Certain types of preaching you get excited about, and other ones you're like, yeah, that's good, it's good, it's wonderful. You're drawn to certain types of people, and other people are like, why are you with them? That's weird, but yeah, I feel drawn to that, because it's your uniqueness. And what you have to understand is you have to learn what moves your spirit. Because what moves my spirit is different from what will move your spirit. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I cannot stand Hillsong. They are wonderful people. I love them, but that does not move me. I'm a black guy from South Sacramento. Come on, are you here? I love them. I'm good worship. It does, but it doesn't move me the way. I have people like, oh, Hillsong. And I'm not against them. I mean, they're great. I'm wonderful. But if you put that on, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to worship. But it's not provoking me, right? I need something with a little deep depth to it, a little guitar. I need some little bit of hip-hop beat to it. Come on, amen? I need something there with some guts at the bottom of it. And when I hear that, it's easier for me to pray. I'll put certain things on because I'm trying to build that. Put certain songs on because I'm trying to build an atmosphere. I'm trying to provoke my spirit. You got to know what it is for you. We have to pray in the dark, no music, just raw, no spices. Who said that? Who said you can't put on songs and things that are moving you and move out into the realm of the spirit because it's provoking you and you're trying to build an atmosphere? Come on, amen? Amen. And when you do this, what is going to happen is your spirit's going to take flight. You're going to have like wings and you're going to fly. And this is how you know that you're in the spirit, because a minute in the spirit is really an hour in the natural. So you've been in the spirit and it seems like just a short period of time, you look down, it's like, man, an hour's gone by? That's how you know you're in the realm of the spirit, because there's no time in the spirit. You don't feel time ticking away, because time is a created thing, and in the spirit, there's no time. Come on, amen? And this is why if you're in a prayer life and you keep checking your watch, oh, 5 minutes, I've been only praying for 15 minutes? Oh my God, it seemed like an hour. That means you're in the flesh, not in the spirit. Because in the time, you're a slave to it here. But in the realm of the spirit, if you have an atmosphere and you provoke your spirit and you moved into that deeper realm, it seems like a minute has gone by and really an hour has gone by. Because that's how far out you can get with God. But you have to learn what moves you. Certain notes on a piano when I'm ministering move me in a certain direction. So my piano player, I'll tell him, play something in A minor. A minor for me pulls on my anointing. Doesn't matter what the song is, as long as it's in that key. And the reason is, listen to this. The reason is, how many people know in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that the earth was made by God. God spoke, and it was so. God spoke, and then it was so, right? Everything that was created were created by the words of God. God created everything. Listen, God created you, right? And when he created you, he spoke a certain sound. And each of you in your spirit have a sound that you're trying to find. That's why you like certain types of sounds and she likes certain types of music. It's a sound that you're drawn to. And you have to understand what that sound is for you. You don't be bashful about it. Some of you are drawn to certain types of things, certain types of music. Your parents don't understand it. You know why they don't understand it? Because it's not their sound. Come on, amen? Amen? Some of you like certain types of sounds. And I know, you know, I always wondered, Pastor Kwok, you know, all these bands like Slipknot and some of these other bands that are just death metal and all this stuff. I always wonder, how can people listen to that? Because their sound is so distorted that that's the sound that they're drawn to now. It's just distortion. And they've lost track of their created sound, and so now they're drawn to this kind of distorted sound. Why do people gravitate towards this really, really depressing, melancholy music? Because the sound in them has been distorted a little bit, and they're drawn to that kind of thing. Come on, ladies, you know when you're feeling low, you put on those songs and, I just like this song right now. It's making me cry. But that's not the sound you were created for, right? God, when he spoke you into existence, there is a sound that came out of him. And for the rest of your life, you will be drawn to that type of particular sound. That's how you find out what moves your spirit on the inside. And don't be shy about that. If you're struggling in your prayer, put that sound on. Play that music. Play that song. Play whatever it takes. And then just begin to move forward with it. Create an atmosphere. Now listen, I'm a missionary. So I don't have the luxury of always being able to be in a nice dark room. Come on. You know how we like to do it? Light a candle, you know? Let's just get a vibe going. Oh, I love you, Jesus. You know, I don't have that luxury because I'm all over the world. I'm in all these strange places all the time. So I have to be a carrier of an atmosphere. I carry my own atmosphere with me. And that's why when I walk into a hotel room, I bring the atmosphere with me. Amen? And I can orchestrate it if I have to with my own time, my own prayer, my own pushing into the Spirit, because I've had to develop that muscle in me to be able to do that. You don't have to worry about that. You go home, you go to the same place every day. Come on, amen? Build around your strength. Now, this is what happens when we move into the presence of God. God will deal with us in four ways in our prayer life. Okay? This is number four. God will deal with us four ways. First, God will always first deal with us relationally. He's going to deal with first with your relationship with him. What's keeping you from having a close relationship with him? He's going to deal with you relationally. What's happening between you and him? And this is why it's so important for you to be transparent. Listen, I've been in prayer with God, and I came to God, and I say, God, right now, I'm not very happy with you. Are you serious? Yes. I tell God, God, I feel like you have let me down. I feel like that I'm disappointed right now because I asked for this or I wanted this, and it didn't happen the way that it was supposed to happen. And I'm going to be real with you right now. I'm not really happy right now about serving you. You talk to God like that? Yes, because it's in me. He sees it already. Come on, wake up, people. You think you're hiding something from him? You think he doesn't see and know everything? So I don't play games. I just am real. Now, I know I'm wrong. But that's the way that I feel, okay? I know that it's not right, but it's the way I feel. I'm being real. And it's, you can't be real, then you don't have a real relationship. I cannot stand being around fake, phony people. Come on, are you here? But yet you come in the presence of God and you act fake. You're not real with him about your concerns, what you're feeling. Now, listen, God's going to do whatever he wants to do. He's God. You're not. Amen? So every argument, I'm never going to win. Every gripe that I have, I might just have to suck it up. But I'm still going to be real. And I'm going to let God deal with me in a real way. And I'm going to be real with him. This is what will give you a deeper relationship with God. Is being transparent with him about what you feel. I'm disappointed. I'm worried about this. I know you're in control. I know you can do all things. But I'm asking you, what's going on? Can you help me? Can you be I'm a little bit nervous right now about this, God. I just want you to know that. I just want you to know. And God will like, okay, I'll comfort you. Or stop being nervous, and here's three scriptures that you should read and know. Right? But we're going to be real in the presence of God. This is how God will deal with us First and foremost, he will deal with us relationally. Next, he will deal with us inspirationally. That means that in the presence of God, you will be inspired to move forward into the deeper things, into your calling. You will be inspired with new ideas. You will be inspired to create things or to help people or to do things. People say, how are you able to keep going and traveling all the time? I travel almost 150,000 air miles a year. You know, that's enough times to go around the world. Four times, that's how much I travel every year. I'm tired. I'm always exhausted. I'm praying for people like you saw. It takes so much out of you. But I'm inspired because I get in the presence of God, and God deals with me inspirationally. Amen. And when I see dead, dried up Christians, I know that it's because they are not praying and God is not dealing with them inspirationally. You get in the presence of God, you will be full of ideas. You will be full of life. You will be full of inspiration. You won't think, why am I getting up in the morning? What am I doing this for? What is this about? Why am I coming to church on the? You will be inspired to help, to touch, to do the God kind of things. Come on, amen? Yeah. Change people's lives. You'll be inspired to look beyond your natural problems and your situations and to move out and begin to touch other people. He'll deal with you inspirationally. What are you doing to change the world around you? Then, this is wonderful. He will deal with you revelationally. And what that means is he will share things with you. Now, let me explain to you how my Bible reading works. I open the Bible, and I come across something I don't understand. It happens to me all the time. I'm reading scriptures, and it's like, what does this mean? I don't understand what this means. What does this mean? It's unclear. Now, what most people think is that the Holy Spirit is like the secret. They don't do it that much anymore, but you ever have those secret decoder rings? Secret decoder thing, and it's like a little red thing, and you put it over there, and you take it off, and it shows you a picture. You take it out, it shows you a picture. Most people think that that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's like the secret decoder of the Bible, where you just like are reading something, and all of a sudden, oh my God, it makes total sense. Like he decoded it for me. Like, oh, he gave me new eyes. I can see it. That's not the way it works. Do you know that the Holy Spirit was there when the Bible was written? God spoke to him, and he spoke to people to write it down, so he knew exactly what was in the mind of God. So what we do when we read the Bible and we come across a section we don't understand is we ask the Holy Spirit, because you wrote this, what did that mean? And what he does is he shares with you information about why that was written. Very simple. I don't ever read the Bible alone. I can't understand it alone. It's too complex of a book. I have to read it with him. Hey, what does this mean? You were there when it was written. What did God mean by that? Oh, yeah, okay, well, that makes total sense. And he starts sharing things with you, and you have revelation. And then your friends go, where did you learn that? Where did you get that from? You're only 16. You're only 14. How do you know so much about the Bible? Well, it's a secret. We give God all the glory. And they think you're some deep theologian, and really all you're doing is getting inside information. Listen, number four, he deals with you motivationally. If you go into prayer with God, you will be motivated to do something when you come out. You will be motivated. You lack motivation right now in your life. You lack motivation to pursue your school, your calling, what's going on, because you have not let God deal with your motives. What are your motives for what you are doing? This is one of the most powerful parts of your prayer life that will produce the most fruit in your life right here, is what are your motives for what you're doing? Now, while you're young, many of you in this room, your motive is just to please your parents. Get them off your back. Get good grades. Come on. Come on, don't shout me down because I got your number right now. Come on. That's all you're motivated by. I don't want to get yelled at. I don't want to lose my privileges. I don't want to make them upset. So you're motivated by fear. Fear is a terrible motivator. A better motivator is love. Amen. Come on, amen? Amen? If you're motivated by love and you're motivated by doing things because you love what you're doing or you see a higher purpose in what you're doing, then this is really what will motivate you. Now, I asked a guy who's an inventor, a very intelligent guy once. I said, man, he never finished college. He only went to 1 year. He was at Stanford. Went to 1 year of college and he quit. And very wealthy now because he invented a few things that they use in computers. One of the things he used, Google uses in their search engine. He was part of a couple of different organizations. And I asked him, like, man, what is this? He goes, in school, I hated school. He goes, I hated it. I said, but you're really smart. You must have been good at it. He goes, yeah, but I wasn't motivated because it was boring to me because I didn't see any purpose in it. And I said, well, what changed that for you? He goes, when I started to see what I really wanted to do, it was revealed to me. He's a Christian guy. It was revealed to me. Then the studying and everything that I was doing made sense all of a sudden. Come on, are you here? See, if you're studying hard just to get good grades, get your parents off your back, then there's no motivation behind that besides fear. But if you're motivated because you see that God has a purpose for your education beyond you just getting through college and pleasing your parents, there's a reason. There's a motivation that comes to you because what you're doing is divinely inspired by God. What is your calling? What are you here for? Then your education makes sense. Come on, amen? Amen? It can't be about them. It's got to be about you. It's got to be about what you want to do and what you are called to do. And listen, I'm not here to tell you what that is. I don't have a prophetic word for each of you. But I'm telling you, if you get into the presence of God, you get liberated, you get deeper in prayer, you get into a place past all these things, and you get into an atmosphere where your spirit can take flight, what will happen is God will deal with you inspirationally, revelationally. He will reveal things to you. Then he will give you a motivation that will never quit. It'll carry you for the rest of your life. I'm motivated. No one has to get me out of bed in the morning. I get myself out of bed. I am completely unsupervised. I'm my own boss. Amen? You know why? Because I don't need someone to tell me what to do. Because I want to do what I'm doing. No one has to get on my case because I see purpose behind it. When I played football for many years, and Vince also is a college baseball player and runs a baseball academy, one of the things that was my main thing is I was always self-motivated. This is why I excelled. Now listen, I'm not very tall for a football player, right? Come on, it's okay. You guys can say it, right? But yet, I was one of the best players in California when I was in college. And here's what happened. I was motivated to play football because I loved the sport. I trained myself. I did more than my coaches told me to do because I was inspired and I was motivated. I understood at the time that this is what I was there for. This is what I wanted to do. But at my sophomore year of college, I heard the gospel for the first time and I got saved and my motivation completely changed. I didn't want to play anymore because now God began to reveal to me that I was called to be a preacher and go all over the world. And all of a sudden, the thing that I lived and was motivated by, inspired by for all my life, completely changed. And I got motivated to do something else. And I was offered a 2-year scholarship, $250,000, to go to another college and play at a higher level. And the day that I was to go in and get this scholarship and sign, I didn't go. I didn't go. And this is what I worked for my entire life, but my motivation had changed. And I called my coach and I says, I'm not going to come. I'm not going to play anymore. I go, what are you kidding? The guy's here. There's a scholarship, letter of intent. You're signing today. What do you mean? It's a scholarship. It's what you work for. And I said, I'm not motivated to do that anymore. I said, I'm going to go to Bible college instead. My coach is a cigar-smoking guy, you know, just a typical football coach. He's like, what, Bible college? And I said, I looked him in the eyes after I saw him later. I said, you know, I thank you for everything you've done, but I don't want to do this anymore. My motivation had changed because I had revelation, because I began to pray. I began to get in the presence of God, and he began to deal with me relationally. He began to deal with me revelationally. He began to deal with me inspirationally, and then he changed my motivations. This is why you absolutely need a prayer life. Amen. Or you will be like a ship without a rudder for the rest of your life, tossed around by every wind that happens. And you will always lack inspiration and motivation until you get into the presence of God. I never go into prayer without my Bible. Come on, amen? Because you can hear some things that maybe are not God, it may be you. And I always want to use the word of God to clarify everything that I hear. Come on. I always have my Bible there. And if I'm not sure if it's God or if it's me, are you telling me this, God? I said, if you are, can you please give me a scripture? Bring something up in my spirit and bring enlightenment to my mind. Because I've read a lot of stuff, and it's all in there. The word of God will not return void. That means it's always sitting in you. Every scripture that you've ever read is sitting in you. And God can bring it back up to you at any moment and give you inspiration, give you idea, give you motivation. And you're in a very pivotal moment in your life. All of you young people, you're 14, 15, 16 years old. And you think, what do I care about what's going to happen next? I'm just trying to get through school. I'm just trying to get through this. But you won't make it. And you'll be miserable. You'll look back on your school life and you will see that this was just drudgery. It was just something you went through. It was just something you had to do because, you know, I need to get into a good college. But why? I'm not saying don't, but what's the inspiration? What's the motivation behind it? If it's not coming from God, if it's not an internal purpose, and he will give you an inspiration and motivation if you are called to higher learning. He'll give it to you. And it doesn't have to be this drudgery. It doesn't have to be you trying to please your parents and trying to get through things. You have to get a prayer life, or else you will not have the revelation, inspiration, and motivation that you need. You won't have it. And you see people, if you're in college, you see people in high school, they're just walking around like zombies all the time. Totally stressed out, totally under this burden, totally unhappy with their life. And it's not right for you as a Christian to live your life like that. Gotta have a prayer life. Listen, make this easy. I'm going to close with this. Make this easy. Here's the best advice I can give you. Make this easy. I was with Tommy Barnett. You know who Tommy Barnett is? He's a great pastor. Pastors a church, 22,000 people. And we were in the same hotel. And I walked down. He was sitting outside on this porch area. And he had a newspaper. He was reading the newspaper and a cup of coffee and he has a Bible open. And I was like, I didn't want to disturb him, but I just, you know, sat down. He goes, hey, what you doing? And I said, I'm just having breakfast. And I had my, you know, little, I was trying to look spiritual, so I had my Bible out too. You know how you try to look spiritual, you got a Bible out on the table, but you're really not, you're really more paying attention to the breakfast than the Word of God. And I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm having my devotional. And I was like, you're having your devotional? He's like, yeah, I'm doing my devotional. I'm like, but you had a newspaper out. He's like, yeah, I'm just reading through the newspaper, reading through the scriptures, seeing how I can pray for things that are going on in the world. I'm drinking a cup of coffee out here on the patio, full of the presence of God. And I was like, you can do that? He's like, yeah. Yeah, I'm just having time with the Lord. And I just saw so much ease and so much grace in that moment. It just completely set me free from my religious spirit that it had to be some weird, like, in a room with the lights out, you know, everything saw quiet, no distractions, all these kind of things. And I just began to see that this was a real relationship he had, that this was transferable and translatable everywhere that he went. This is how your prayer life must be. Amen. Make it simple and make it easy for you to keep. The harder you make it, the harder it's going to be. So you have people come and tell you, well, you got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and pray. Come on. Listen to me now. Pastor Troy is not getting up at 6 a.m. It's not going to happen. Well, the Bible says, early will I seek thee. Yeah, but God said that to David, not to me. And what is the definition of early? For me, 9 o'clock in the morning is early. Come on, amen? I am not a morning person. I don't like getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I hate it. I have to catch planes sometimes at 5 a.m., and you don't want to talk to me. I'm taking every bit of my spirit to control my flesh at 5 o'clock in the morning. That is not my hour. I do not do well at that time, so I don't pray at 5 o'clock in the morning. People are like, I'm going to set my alarm. I'm going to get up every morning, 5 a.m. before school. And you do it for one time, and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, thank you, Lord, and you're asleep. And you wake up and like, you know, spit coming out of your mouth. And you just try to spiritualize, like, oh, God must have just translated me into the spirit. I was out so far having dreams and visions. No, you fell asleep. Because it's not convenient for you. And we think the more inconvenient something is, the more spiritual it is. And we hear people preach sermons like, I get my pastor gets up 5 o'clock every morning. Well, good for him. Hallelujah. But that doesn't work for me. So what is simple and works for you? Many of you like to stay up late, pray. Find the time. Your house is quiet. You're up there on the internet anyway. Come on. Just turn that off for 45 minutes, 20 minutes, and get into the presence. Follow the steps I just taught you. And you'll see, make it easy for you to pray. Make it simple. Don't make it complicated or you won't do it. And the most important thing is that you do it. The worst exercise program that you keep is better than the best one that you don't keep. Amen? It's the same way with your prayer line. The worst prayer schedule, worst prayer time that you have is better that you keep it than the worst one that you don't keep. Amen. Make it simple. Make it easy. Make it time where you know you're up, you know you're full of energy. If it's not 5 a.m., don't do it at 5 a.m. I'm a night person. I go to bed averagely every night at 1 o'clock in the morning. I come alive after 10 p.m. I come alive at 10 p.m. It's like 10 p.m., all my ideas come. I'm working. I get the most work done at 10 to 11 to 12 o'clock at night. I'm the most efficient at those hours for some reason. That's just the way God put me together. That's just the way I am. And I used to try to fight that. I'm like, oh, I need to go to bed and lay in bed all night. My head's thinking, things going through my mind all night. And then I wake up tired. I'm going to pray at 5 o'clock in the morning. Because someone told me that's what you need to do. Seek him early. Well, I'm like, 1 a.m. is early. That's morning time, right? Find it for yourself. I'm here to liberate you today. Get rid of religious things in your mindsets and in your life that keep you out of the presence of God. You make it so complicated, so religious, so rigid, and so form-oriented that you can't do it anymore. I'm here to tell you, I've done my devotions in the back of a taxi cab on the way to the airport because that's all the time I had that day, and I wanted to be with God. So I'm sitting back there. Cab driver is like, you know, everyone thinks you have a Bluetooth. I'm just praying, oh, I'm talking to my God, and they're like, oh, he must be on the phone. And I'm just there, and I open up my hand phone. I've got a Bible on my hand phone. And I just start reading through scripture, and just praying. Now, listen, I'd rather be in a room, nice lighting, everything warm and cuddly and just like, yo, the presence of God. But sometimes with my schedule, I can't do that. Sometimes I'm sitting in an airport lounge and I've got to have my devotional at this time. And I'm sitting there, I'm praying, presence of God comes, I start crying. Things start happening. And I think I'm getting inspiration, I'm getting motivation in the middle of an airport. How does that happen? Because I have a real relationship with God, and God can come visit. We can talk anywhere. It doesn't have to be in church here. If the only encounters you have with God are in church, then there's something wrong with your Christianity. Anywhere, anytime. I've had some incredible times. I had a devotional once. You won't believe this. I had a devotional once where I was riding on the back of a donkey in Indonesia. Water buffalo. Not a donkey, a water buffalo. I was in the back of a water buffalo for like an hour going up this river because it was the only mode of transportation. And I'm like, I got to sit here for an hour. Well, let's just pray and just have a prayer time and just, you know, pulled out my handphone. I'm like going through the Bible. I'm on this water buffalo going through the river. And the presence of God came. I was like, wow, I'm on the top back of this water buffalo. That's how crazy. And that's when I learned God does not care where you talk to him, where you have a devotional time. As long as you have it, he will show up. Don't be religious. Religion will rob you of the presence of God. Religion will rob you of getting into the place with God where you can get your inspiration, your motivation, your revelation, and build your relationship with him. Be real. Get liberated. Worship him correctly. Come on, deal with distractions and get the inspiration and the motivation to keep moving your life forward. It's not magic. It's not magic how you will excel. It's very simple. You need God in your life. And if you can pray consistently, you will begin to see that God will move and give you all kinds of things that will keep you moving forward in every aspect of your life. Now, come on, stand up with me. I want to pray for you. I want you to leave here tonight or this afternoon with a motivation to pray. I know many of you, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Fire of God has come over your life. God has touched you in a very real way. But I've been in conferences just like this, just like many of you, and I've seen this happen time and time again, that you are come and you're on this huge high. God has touched you, you're wonderful, magnified his presence in your life, and you know you're changed. Things have been imparted to you. Things have been broken off of your life. But then you go home, and it just dips right back down to where you're at before. And you wait for next year's activate. And if you want to live a life like that, you can. But the only way you break that cycle of ups and downs is you begin to build a consistent devotional time with God. The inspiration you guys have right now in your life, right now from this conference, you know God is moving, you feel on fire, you feel full of life, there's energy. And you want to maintain that, you want to take that to the next level. The only way you'll do that is if you have inspiration and motivation from God. You've got to commit right now. Listen, I'm not telling you you have to pray 3 hours a day. I don't know how long you need to pray. Pray until you want to stop, but just pray. Amen? I don't care. I'm not here to set a time for you. I used to be like, I want you to commit. Everyone that says they will pray 1 hour a day. And I'm thinking, 1 hour? You guys ain't prayed 15 minutes. You ain't going to make it. And so I'm just going to make this simple. I'm just going to make this simple because this is the commitment I'm going to ask from you before God, that you will just pray every day. I don't care if it's an hour. I don't care if it's 5 minutes. I don't care if it's 10 minutes. But I gave you very simple steps for you to follow. It's like jogging on a jogging track. You know the course. It's simple to follow. And if you'll do it, just like I taught you, you'll get liberated. You'll worship God first, not for what he's done or what you want him to do, but for who he is. You get liberated, you get past the distractions, you get into the presence of God, you'll get inspiration, he'll deal with your relationship with him, he'll get you closer to him, he'll give you all the things you need to keep moving forward. This is the benefit of your prayer. It'll change your life forever. So, Father, in the name of Jesus. Vince, come here. Where's Vince at? Go get him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you in Jesus' name to just release the spirit of prayer over this group of young people. Father, we can do nothing without the grace of God. And Lord, I ask you to give them grace for a dynamic prayer life. Give them grace, Lord, to move deeper into the prayer, deeper into relationship with you. No man comes to you unless you first draw him, the word of God teaches us. So we ask you, Lord, to by your spirit, to begin to draw every person in this room to you again, where they were not even convicted about not opening their Bible, where they weren't even convicted about not praying for weeks or days at a time. Lord, let the Holy Spirit bring that conviction again over every life. Let conviction over every life about prayerlessness, and we rebuke the spirit of prayerlessness off of every individual here. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to move upon them. Move upon them in a very dynamic way, God. It will change their life forever. Give them the spirit of prayer.
Yes, God.
Give them the spirit of God that they've been filled with. Let that not wane, but let it go and let it grow in them and let it move to a place of overflow, God, where they're not just sustaining themselves, but they are also sustaining other people, Father God, with what you're doing in their life. That they are living out of the overflow, Father God. And they're feeding people spiritually, and they're caring for people spiritually because they have so much of God. It's not just for them. They have more than enough for other people. Lord, we ask you to bring the inspiration in their prayer life and the motivation to keep moving forward with you. And we bless them right now.